We thank you, Father, for just blessing us once again. Father, as I share this word today, I pray that I can share it your way, Father. Yes. You have prepared me, Father. And Father, I pray that you get the glory for all that comes out of this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, you never know what impact you might have on somebody when you share a good word with them. You might never know what impact you have with somebody when you share the word of God with them.
Amen.
We never know the role we play in others coming to Christ. We might be the one who shares a good word that sparks the interest with individuals so that they might want to learn more about Christ. We might be living a godly lifestyle that makes somebody pause and say, there's something different about them. I want to be like them. Today we're going to talk about Jesus talking to a woman of Samaria. Now, most of y'all know where I'm coming from today. The Samaritan woman at the well. But there was more to her than just a little bit of water. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's look at John chapter 4. The fourth chapter of John. Fourth chapter of John. As we turn to it, we realize that Jesus was traveling from Judea to Galilee and going through Samaria was the shortest route. If you look at the map in the back of most of our Bibles, you will see that Judea is here, and you see that Galilee is up here, and right in the middle is Samaria. It was the shortest route. Now, the Samaritans were not held in high regard by the Jews. The Jews prided themselves upon the purity of their race. But yet those inhabitants of Samaria were of a mixed race. They were mixed blood. They had a little bit of Jew in them. They had a little bit of Assyrian in them. They had a little bit of everything else in them. And they were looked upon as second-class citizens. Maybe, is there something lower than second class? Maybe a little bit lower than second class citizens. So normally, respectable Jews would have taken the long way to avoid a dangerous and an unkind situation. They would have gone out of their way to go around Samaria. If the truth be told, my brothers and sisters, how often do we go around places? Just because the people are not like us, they might not have what we have. They might not have the education that we have. They might have had challenges in their lives that has kept them down. And we avoid the area to go around the area. Jesus and his disciples were going through Samaria. And it even says that in the early part of John chapter 4, verse 3, he left Judea and departed unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. There are times when we need to go through places, and we don't know why we're going through. But going through is both a blessing for us and a blessing for somebody else. So they came to this town called Sychar, a place where Jacob's well historically stood. And Jesus, being about 6 o'clock in the evening, decided to rest beside the well. Then came a woman of Samaria, and she had her pot with her. And she came to draw some water from the well. I don't know know how many of us here have ever experienced well water. But if you don't have a bucket, you're not going to get some water. So she came to get some water from the well. And in verse 7, Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." Jesus said, "Give me a drink." And it goes on to tell us that he was alone with the woman because the disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And in verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." She was amazed because she had been a second or third class citizen for so long that she accepted her lot in life. And Jesus talked to her. A Jew talked to her. Now there's a lot more going here than we can appreciate, because in our context it might seem like a little thing that he talked to her. But in the context of the times of Jesus, when Jesus walked, there were rules governing the relationship between men and women in public. Even husbands and wives had to act a certain way when they were in public. One of the sayings of the rabbis was, "A man shall not be alone with a woman in an inn, not even with his sister or his daughter, on account of what men may think. A man shall not talk with a woman in the street, not even with his own wife, and especially not with another woman, on account of what men may say." So it was customary not to even talk to strangers, not to talk to women in public, much less someone of a lower caste system than you are. This is why it shocked her so much. It would have been improper for a proper man to talk to a Samaritan woman. So that's why she said to him in verse 9, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which is I'm a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me a drink,' thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." Now you see, he turned the conversation from the physical to the spiritual.
Yes.
Just like that. Verse 11, "The woman said unto him, 'Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with.'" What she's saying is, "I know you're not going to drink from what I have, because I am an impure woman from an impure people. Sir, you don't even have your own pot. You don't have your own material to draw the water that you ask." She says the well is deep. "From where then is that you have the living water?" And she goes on to say, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." The woman said, "That sounds pretty good to me. Since we're already having the conversation, give me this this water, because I am tired of coming to this well. Give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus had a conversation with a woman that most people would not have had a conversation with. And see, that's the power of Jesus. He reached beyond the boundaries of race. He reached beyond the boundaries of gender. He reached beyond the boundaries to reach out to those who needed salvation. Now, Jesus knew all about the woman already, because after all, he was Jesus. He has a simple question for her. Go call your husband to come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have said well. I have no husband. As a matter of fact, you have had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. In other words, he said, you had five husbands, and you shack it up now. See, Jesus knew what he was doing.
Yes.
He was engaging with this woman. And she says, I kind of perceive that you are a prophet. I wonder what gave it away. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's what the woman is saying to Jesus. We've been worshiping here all this time, and you come with a message that Jerusalem is the only place to worship. And Jesus says to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, I find several things interesting here. First of all, here she is, a third class citizen. But yet she gets the news. Amen? She's heard about Christ.
Yes.
That it, there is a coming Messiah. And Jesus says, I am he. And then came his disciples back from the market and marveled that Jesus was talking with this woman. Yet no man said, what are you looking for, Jesus? Or why do you talk to her? But yet the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man. When you have an encounter with the Lord, there are certain provisions that you need to leave behind. You see, that water pot would have slowed her down as she went to the city. She had heard some good news. Have you ever heard some good news so good you dropped what you were doing and picked up your phone and told somebody about it? Well, they didn't have phones back in those days. So she left her pot and went into the city and said unto the men, come see a man. I got a witness for you. Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She ran into the city. This woman ran and talked to the men and said, is this not the one we've heard about? We've heard that the Messiah is coming, is going to unite everybody together and restore the relationship with God. We've heard about this. Here, this water-bearing woman came back and said, come see a man. This was a simple, but this was a very effective witness from this woman. What had she ever done? She was unmarried. She was unfaithful. She was immoral. She was a divorcee. She was a Samaritan. So many strikes against her. But yet we have her in this word. No matter who we are and what we have done, we can still be the bearer of the good news of Jesus Christ. We like to think that that is a job for somebody else. Somebody else who is on fire for the Lord can go into that neighborhood and tell those folks about Jesus Christ. But no, what about us? What are we going to do about it? Here was a woman who was simple. But you know what else she was? She was direct. She got straight to the point. Is this not the Christ? Jesus told this woman who he was long before he confirmed to the Jews who he was. She didn't know theology. But you don't need to know theology when you know the Savior. Sometimes we get so caught up in trying to say the right things in the right way that we don't say anything. It is time to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. They could have simply ignored this woman. But she must have had a different look to her when she came from the well. They could have pushed her away and say, oh, get out of here, you poor woman. Go back to the guy you're shacking up with. They could have said, they could have just simply ignored her. But look at verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. The witness of a woman. The witness of a simple woman. The witness of an unmarried woman. Immoral woman. The witness of a third class citizen. And then they came and verse 31 and all that. They talk. This disciples talking to Jesus about, are you hungry and all this? And he's talking about the harvest. But we skip down to verse 39, when Jesus engages the Samaritans again. And it tells us that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all I ever did. Listen, a lot of them believe on Jesus simply because of what the woman said, because the woman's witness was enough for them to believe in Jesus Christ. There was something different about that woman when she came back from the well for these men to believe her word and take it seriously enough to go seek Jesus. I dare say that woman bore a lot of spiritual fruit on that day. Regardless of what people thought about her, what the history books say she was, she became a child of God. So when the Samaritans, verse 40, were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there for 2 days. Isn't it interesting that we want to stay around people longer when we can agree on something? Isn't it interesting that we can stay a little bit longer when people really are interested in what we have to say? You know, we have people in our lives, and I know you do too, that I don't care to be around for 2 days. Amen? But there are others I'd love to stay around for 2 days. But look at who they were talking to, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. A man on a mission. And he spends 2 days with them. 2 days with them. They asked him to stay for a while. He did. How blessed were they to have the Lord in their presence for 2 whole days. Again, this shows that he is the Savior. For while other rabbis or other religious leaders would have had too much on their schedule to stay with somebody who cannot help them out, they would have kept on going. But no, he stayed with them. And look at verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word. Many more believed. A lot believed just based on what the woman said. But many more believed based on what Jesus said. Can you imagine having a 2-day teaching session with Jesus? Can you imagine having a 2-day revival with Jesus? Can you imagine being in the presence of Jesus? It's okay to hear about the Lord and accept him because of the testimony, but so much better to hear the Lord for ourselves. The woman was playing her role. She was bearing fruit. The title, The Fruitfulness of the Samaritan Woman. John 15:5, what does Jesus say? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That's what empowered the woman to go talk to those men. She had Jesus. That's what empowered her to be so bold to go speak to those men and say, come see a man. And the Spirit was so powerful within her that many believed right then based on her testimony. But many more believed once they heard Jesus and saw him for themselves. And here's what they said to the woman, the Samaritans. Now we believe, not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. It is so interesting that in the previous chapter, remember, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Under the cloak of darkness came seeking answers from Jesus. He was a nobleman. He was a rabbi. He was a Pharisee. He was held in high regards. But he couldn't come to Jesus like these simple people from Samaria came to Jesus. They had no pretense. They didn't have to wait to the cloak of darkness. They had nothing to protect. They had no integrity that would be destroyed by being in the presence of Jesus. As a matter of fact, it might have been the other way around. Jesus might have had his integrity destroyed because he hung around the sinners. Didn't they try to talk about him because of the people he hung out with? But he hung out with people who are ready to accept him as Savior. He had a message that transcends all boundaries known to man. But they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of your sayings, for we have heard for ourselves to know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." There are three reasons listed here that they believe. Number one, they heard it for themselves. They heard it for themselves. You know, hearing somebody else tell a story is one thing. But to see it for yourself is something else. Just last month, many of you know, I went to see the solar eclipse. I went to South Carolina because that's the place that was going to be in totality. It was going to get dark. And I had heard people talk about it, of how good it would look and how I would feel. But I didn't get an adequate description of what the experience was going to be like.
Right.
So I decided I was going to check it out for myself.
Yes.
We were blessed with good weather, no clouds. And when the sky started getting dark, everything that I was prepared to do just went out the window because I saw something that in my mind did not sync with what I knew. You do not expect for it to get dark in the daytime. You do not expect to be able to look directly at the sun in the day with no glasses on. You don't expect that, but when it happens, you have a circuitry overload in your mind. And forget who you are. And all you can say is, "Thank you, Jesus." Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
But now that I come back, I find that I am inadequate of sharing with others the experience. I find that my words cannot share the awesomeness of the experience. For I had to see it for myself to feel this way. I got to feel that the men of Samaria, that when they saw Jesus, they had heard her description.
Yes.
They had heard what she said. But when they saw it for themselves, everything else went out the window. I'm reminded of a quote by the boxer Mike Tyson. Now, not very often you're going to hear me quote Mike Tyson in a sermon. But he once said that everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
You can plan all you want to about how you're going to live your life, what you're going to do. But when you get punched in the mouth by an encounter with Jesus Christ, everything else goes out the window. You don't even feel like doing what you used to do. Don't feel like going where you used to go. You got to tell folks that I can't hang with you or make excuses of why you can't hang with them. They don't understand you anymore. They will call you names. Oh, you all about Jesus now. You are a Jesus freak now. You can't do that because you married to the Lord. You can't do this and that. You can't go here and there. You can't be in the company of certain people. Once you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ, your life has changed.
Yeah.
And those who are with you will not understand what you are about until they accept Christ as their Savior.
Yeah.
These men of Samaria had now accepted Christ.
Yeah.
They had a Savior. They had a new master. They went to the well. There was more than water waiting at the well. Water is temporary. Where are you going to find something? Where is your water coming from? Have you tasted from the well that will never dry up? Have you tasted from the well that only Jesus can provide? Have you tasted? If you've tasted, tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about your experience. Your words might not be articulate. Remember, this was a simple woman. If she can do it, so can we. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. The fruitfulness of the Samaritan woman. The fruitfulness. God bless you. Amen. 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 She had a word. She was simple. She was third class. But she was bold. No longer did she draw water the same way. I dare say once we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, we will never draw water the same way.